Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We're going to continue in 1 Kings, the enemies of Solomon. You must remember, as we consider 1 Kings, this is God's kingdom, and it's being worked out through men here on earth. And we've seen David passing the mantle to his son Solomon, the wisdom, the organization, the leadership, the justice, the wealth, the ruin of a man by success, by blessings, by not considering God. Recently, we have cited many building projects and the excessive wealth of Solomon. Israel was in its glory, but it is declining. Solomon has failed to do right. Our last study was blessings to chastening. A simple outline, we saw Solomon's family, the effects of Solomon's sin, and the wrath of God. It's interesting to say Solomon's family, that's 1,000 women, summed up as Solomon's family. And those 1,000 women moved Solomon to pagan worship. God's kingdom. God's chosen people. Solomon is not considering the people of his kingdom. What good is all of this wealth to them? You can't eat it. You can't wear it. But they have it. What good are apes and peacocks? These people were under a heavy burden, as is going to soon be revealed in our study. Not tonight necessarily, but coming. Solomon has provoked the Lord to anger. Folks, if this is not a sober warning, a man with such wisdom, with such potential, can fall from his relationship with God. Sober warning to all of us. God is angry with Solomon. God had appeared to him twice. He's spoken to him several times, but he physically appeared to him twice. And that's why, and you don't have it, verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice. Solomon, God has literally appeared to you. The more you have of God, the more He has blessed you, the more insights you have seen, the more God expects of you. And that's really a good thing, not a cursing. God rebukes him, and he told him, "You've not kept my covenants. I will rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. But I won't do it for David's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son." Because of your father, Solomon, David, it's not going to be in your life. It's going to be in Rehoboam's life. I'm going to rip the kingdom apart because of this great sin of idolatry. Chapter 11, verse 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. You do understand the power of this passage. And the Lord stirred up an adversary. Do you realize how powerful God is? He literally moves people to do things. He moved an adversary unto Solomon. God is in control. Totally. And so it is, he stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. Now, I am intentionally covering these chapters in big picture so you keep the flow. The truth is, if we drill down on this, it becomes meaningless. You must see the whole of the book, the flow, where it's going. You can put it together. So God has raised up this adversary, and there are more to come. The nation has enjoyed peace, but that will end by the sovereign hand of God. Solomon has no one to blame but himself. Chapters 6, 7, and 8, Solomon was building the temple. 9 and 10, Solomon's power and wealth. And chapter 11, Solomon's fall and punishment. I hope that these words are never written about me, and the Lord was angry with my, put your name there. It was there with Solomon, a man that had great, great insights. Solomon ruled over men, but he forgot that God ruled over him. He lived a life of luxury to the neglect of people and God. How? You ask yourself, how could that happen? The blinding power of sin. In chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, we have the nation is going to be rent divided. 14 to 22, we read of Hadad, who's been raised up against him. In 23 to 25, Rezon will oppose Solomon. And in 26 to 40, Jeroboam will be raised up against Solomon. We noted that God did not take away Solomon's wives, princesses, and concubines. They're yours, Solomon. Solomon certainly knew these women were sin. Very selfish, very disrespectful, very uncaring. And surely these women were into idolatrous worship. Solomon's punishment is coming. God was patient with Solomon. But enough was enough. No number of wives, princes, or concubines could comfort him. No amount of wealth could comfort him for what's coming. He must suffer the chastening of the Lord for his sins. Did you ever think about this? We tried to imagine last week what it's like to have 1,000 wives. Can you imagine what it would be like to get rid of them? 999 of you have to go home. They probably were gifts from foreign kings. I don't know. I don't know where they came from. But did you ever try to get rid of 999 wives? Where do they go? What about children? What about the politics from nations that they came from? Think about the pagan temples that need to be destroyed all around the nation and all the people that worked to build them. This did not have to be. Solomon was warned. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was the king's seed in Edom. So it is. We're going to see in verses 14 to 22, Hadad, 23 to 25, Rezon, and 26 to 40, Jeroboam. 41 to 43, we have the death of Solomon. God stirs up adversaries as necessary. Solomon in his pride felt he could sin and suffer no consequences. But no man is exempt from doing right before God. So it is God showed his hand mighty against Solomon by bringing these people against him. He has had wealth, power, glory, women. Now he has people opposing him. Think back what this must have been like for Solomon. It's obviously later in years, but go back to when he first ascended to the throne. Do you remember his brother Adonijah tried to take the throne? He stopped that rebellion. He had mercy on him. He tried again and he had him executed. Solomon can't do that to these people being raised up. Not that easy for him to do. Solomon cannot handle these new enemies as he did Adonijah. So it is, God is our protector. You may take that for granted. Wait till one day till God takes his hand off of you. The hedge of protection is gone. So the first enemy that God has raised up is Hadad. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. Verse 15, for it came to pass when David was in Edom that Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain after they had smitten every male in Edom. Do you understand this is going back years? The root of the problem. That's really a big part of the world's problem today. People are fighting feuds over what happened hundreds of years ago. But here is telling us this is what's happening. Verse 16, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites and his father's servants with him to go to Egypt. Hadad being yet a little child. He's going to grow up to be an adversary. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran. And they came to Egypt, and the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh. And this is one of the men that God is going to raise up against Solomon. So he gave him to wife, the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. Let that soak in. Solomon's first wife was Naamah. She bore him Rehoboam before David died. Who was his second wife? Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 19 again. Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. These are family feuds, too. Verse 21, and when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go to my own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me, that behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, nothing. Howbeit, let me go anywise. Quote, notice the importance of a little child. All the male representatives of the royal family of Edom had perished. But in this child, the line was preserved and perpetuated to be, through long years, a formidable menace to Israel. Never neglect a little child. You never know what good or ill may be hidden in a tiny bud. Mark in this man Hadad the trace of those strange impulses which determined destiny. He could not assign the reason that led him to leave Egypt, but he knew he must go. Can you not look back in your life? And there are sometimes you've made a decision, you wonder, I wonder why. And it could be the hand of God moving you. I mean, obviously this man, I don't think, was seeking God. And yet God apparently is moving him, as is said in the scripture. And just funny how God laid that on his heart. Hadad will seek vengeance upon Solomon for this slaughter that happened many years ago. Solomon wasn't even born yet. And he is going to be suffering for that slaughter. You read this and you say, okay, who's Tahpenes? Who's this guy? Who's that? And this guy married this one. Get the big picture. Solomon has a man who's now intermarried, and he's been risen up against Solomon. The feud is old, the bitterness is deep, and there's family dynamics. 21. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart. And he said, why do you want to go? He said, I don't know. I just want to go. Second enemy, Rezin. And God, this verse 23, and God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band. When David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus. Do you see another long, deep animosity? 25, and he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did. Two of them are both causing Solomon problems. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Quote, it's an awful thing when such hatred arises between two peoples. We as Christians must use all our power to arrest and allay it. Only love and goodwill can guarantee a lasting peace. It was by these two human rods, chastening rods, that God chastened Solomon. Let us live in such conformity to his will that we may not need to be chastened as individuals or a nation. Our God is a consuming fire. So it is, God is moving these people against Solomon. Hadad was moved greatly by family dynamics. Rezin also moved by strife long ago. Long ago. It's interesting, look at verse 25. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon. It seems that God had been restraining him for years. until Solomon. And there's another enemy to come, Jeroboam. More is told us about Jeroboam than the other two adversaries combined. The key here is he's not an outsider as Hadad and Rezin were. Quote, Jeroboam was quite different from the two previously mentioned adversaries of Solomon because he was a fellow Israelite. Not only was he an Israelite, he was a leader in Israel. Verse 26, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. Verse 27, and this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing this young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over the charge of the house of Joseph. This is a man appointed by Solomon, and he is now turned on Solomon. He's a ruler over the house of Joseph. He was upset because Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches. I want you to look at verse 28. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious. That guy's a hard worker. And made him a ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. He liked this man's industry, and he made him a leader over these people in industry. What was the main industry? Building. This industrious man. And he is upset because Solomon is building Millo and fixing the breaches of Jerusalem. Now, this is interesting. Here he is. His skills were noted. He was put in leadership. And as we're going to see, this Jeroboam is the man, when Solomon dies, he is going to go to Rehoboam, the next king, and he will say, lighten up your father's burden. I perceive he has seen this burden throughout the years. He has seen the tremendous money spent on wives and building programs and pagan worship. And apparently, for some reason, Millo was the straw to break his back. This man saw many building projects, and for some reason, Millo and repairing the breaches of Jerusalem, they said, that's enough. I'm angry with this guy. We will get there in our next study, 1 Kings 12:4. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and the heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. It's interesting, this man is being brought up as an adversary, and yet he is going to try to work things out. This is an interesting character. He is an adversary, but it doesn't say in this case that he's been provoked by God to do it. Now, he is going to be, when the kingdom is rent, torn apart, he is going to become the king of the 10 tribes north. God had told Solomon in verse 11 of chapter 11 that he was going to rend the kingdom, and I will give it to thy servant. Solomon was told that. Verse 29, it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him by the way, and he had clad himself in a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him, and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life, for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it to thee even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desires, and thou shalt be king over Israel. Unusual meeting. Here he is walking, and he's upset about Millo and the breaches being repaired, and all of a sudden this prophet shows up and takes the garment, rips it in 12 pieces, and he says, take 10 pieces, because God's giving you the kingdom. It's going to split. Here he is telling him the words, but he's also illustrating by taking this garment, ripping it into 12 pieces. It's not even a nice clean tear. It's ripped. And that's how it is when this kingdom splits. It was a mess. It was a problem. You see, garments aren't designed to be ripped into 12 pieces. They're designed to function as a one piece. And it is being so clearly illustrated the weakness of all of this. And yet God is clearly saying, I'm going to give this to you. And so this Jeroboam, inside one of his close friends, leaders, is now upset. But I want you to see this, because this starts to get a little interesting here. He is going to take 10 of these tribes, but yet he goes to Rehoboam and tries to work it out. But I want you to see God's words in 1 Kings 11:38. He just said he's going to make him king over Israel. Israel is the northern kingdom, the top tribes. The southern 2 tribes are called Judah. Verse 38, and it shall be, God is now speaking to Jeroboam, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David. And I will give Israel unto thee, and I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. God is putting his seal of approval. I'm going to give this. He didn't say you're going to wrench it. I am giving it to you. And if you do right, I will bless and bless and bless. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. Wait a minute. This is the man that God has appeared to twice. And he spoke to him a third time, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. And you know what? He has no fear. If I kill him, he can't take the kingdom. So he tries to kill him. Does Solomon really think he's going to get away with it? Think about that. Solomon, how far gone are you? My goodness. Did you not see the mighty works of God in your life? And all of a sudden now God says, Jeroboam's going to take it, but you're going to kill? You're going to thwart my plan? Really? Really, Solomon? And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shishak, king of Egypt. And he was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Tremendous strife now between Egypt and Israel. They're finding refuge there. Rather than admit his sin and change his ways, Solomon is going to try to kill Jeroboam. You're not going to take this. And Solomon's failure to confess and forsake results in another man, Jeroboam, dwelling in exile with enemies of Israel, just as Hadad and Rezon found refuge also in foreign lands. And I want to give us one more enemy of Solomon. And we have in verse 41 the death of his worst enemy and the rest of the acts of Solomon. He was his own worst enemy. And all that he did in his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem was 40 years. Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So it is, Solomon has been his own worst enemy. The difference between Solomon and from his other enemies, the others were stirred up by God. Jeroboam was stirred up by the oppressive leadership of Solomon, and Solomon was stirred up by his sin. Ecclesiastes testifies that Solomon did finally come to his senses late in years. If we would only learn from Solomon, we can learn God is serious about sin. The next time you're tempted to sin, just say this: is it worth the price? Is it worth the price? But, you know, God's merciful and slow to anger. I'll get away with it. God wants the best for us, and we are prone to wander. No man, not even the king, is exempt from the consequences of wrongdoing. In his mercy and grace, God chastens his erring children for their own good and for his pleasure. But Solomon was warned, but he did not heed the warnings. Let's learn to do right.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.